This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Sallallahu alayhi wassalamu ala alihi wa ashabihi wa azwaji wa man wala wa ba'd. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear brothers and sisters in Islam. This is your brother, Sheikh Khalid Yassin, speaking to you from my Facebook Live platform. This is another segment, short segment of Sky Views. And Sky Views are my views. I try to reiterate that point each time that I talk so that people understand. I'm not necessarily speaking for everyone. I may be speaking to everyone that is plugged into this here social media, but I'm not speaking for everyone. And in general, the revert Muslims in the Western countries. I do realize that many of our viewers and our supporters and people who come to our page are from all over the Muslim world. And even some of them are non-Muslims. So I respect your views, I respect your opinions, I respect your participation, and I respect your comments. However, this is Sky Views. This is my page, and I am responsible for researching and writing and speaking or presenting my views. That's my sovereign personal right to do so. I may not be politically correct. I may not be religiously correct in the views of some people. But it doesn't preclude me from my opinions. Now, having said that, I have been posting fairly consistently for the last, you might get it twisted about what I have to say. Because you are thinking about the nostalgic, historical, global. You might get it twisted about what I have to say. Because you are thinking about the nostalgic, historical, global issues of the Muslim world in general. That's not what I'm speaking about. I try to be inclusive in my opinions or conclusions. But I'm being very surgical and specific in most of what I have to say. So in that regards, those people who are plugged into what I have to say, and you're from Asia, Africa, or the Arabian countries, I respect what you have to say, but you need to put your comments into context. You need to put it within the context of the theme that I'm speaking about. And most of you, you don't even have the patience to listen to the entire talk. That might be 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, maximum. I mean, the maximum is going to be 45 minutes because most people on social media, they don't have the focus or the time or the patience to listen to anything beyond 45 minutes. In most cases, to be very honest and frank, they don't have the tolerance for somebody to talk beyond even 15 minutes. So I try to be concise as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خير الكلام ما قل ودل علي ابن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه. He said that the best speech is the speech which is concise in its meanings, concise in its content, concise in its size, and prolific in its meaning. That's a general translation of that comment of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. It's called an athar. Now, having said that, a lot of people who consider themselves to be self-claimed appointed, recognized scholars or students of knowledge or imams and leaders and thinkers from around the Muslim world, they don't seem to appreciate the thinking of anybody that goes outside of the box of their social, cultural, or religious training. That's okay. But we are not bound to their limitations. In fact, we are free Muslims, free men and women. That is, we are free to think constitutionally, socially, politically. We try to be compliant. We try to be respectful of what has preceded us. But we are living in a very unique set of social, political circumstances and environment. And therefore, in our kitchen, we have to use the tools and the spices to create the meal that we believe is the most appropriate for the Muslims of this particular society, or broadly speaking, Islam in the 21st century, and in particular, Islam and the rising phenomena of Islam in the Western societies. In this regard, I have researched in the past 3, 4, 5 years about 30 different subjects that I believe is critical to be discussed when we use the broad theme of Islam in the 21st century. And I have not just thought about that and not had casual conversations about that. I have done some personal research, organized my thinking, and then written on the topic and produced for myself first what's considered to be like a white paper. A white paper is sort of like a formal, we can call it like a essay. It's like a formal essay, a white paper. That's what it's called academically. So, I mean, I have written a white paper, which is not available for the general public, because I'm not trying to become popular. I'm not trying to publish them. I'm not trying to expose them at this time. But what I do when I choose a subject to speak about, I'm using that white paper, that personal research that I've made, and the comments that I hear from others that I believe are relevant to put forward my propositions. And at the end of the day, that's all what I have to say it is. It's not a foregone conclusion. My views are not a foregone conclusion. I am not a dictator. I am not a ruler. I don't call myself a scholar. Other people might say that, but that's their business and that's their assessment. I am a senior revert Muslim of African descent. So I am an American citizen. That's my formal ID. I'm an American citizen holding an American passport. Therefore, I do hold a direct social responsibility for my family and for Muslims living in the American society. But I'm a senior revert Muslim who became Muslim, who embraced Islam from Christianity about 54 years ago. So I didn't just embrace Islam yesterday or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. I've had the profound privilege from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to visit over 93 countries in the world, 37 of which are Muslim countries. You know, they're called Muslim countries. And I use that word, I use that loose terminology, Muslim countries, because sometimes when you go to those countries or you research those countries or you see what's going on in those countries, it might really represent an antithesis of Islam. They might be living and acting quite contrary towards Islam, but historically, socially, culturally, generally, they are referred to as Muslim countries. I have visited those countries, lived in those countries, walked in those countries, sat down, talked with people in those countries, ate with people in those countries, slept in those countries. So I have some familiarization with the Muslim countries in the world today, a familiarization. So I'm not an expert. While living in those countries, I have to comply. Whatever my opinions are, I have to comply with their urf, their social political norms, their social political cultural norms. That's their urf. Even if their urf, social political and cultural norms are contrary to Islam, I still have to comply. I have to recognize, I have to respect. And in those countries, no matter if I was a mufti, you know, I might be a mufti from America, but guess what? I am not using my religious position or understandings of knowledge from other countries in the global community who happen to be residing in the Western countries. Maybe you're residing there for some time. Maybe you've immigrated 30 years ago. Maybe you are a second generation, third generation immigrant from Muslim countries living in America or Canada or Australia or the European countries or South America. But you are, nevertheless, you are an first, second, third generation immigrant. Now, you might technically be a citizen, and that's great, and you enjoy all those privileges. However, there is some preeminence, respect, that a first, second, third generation immigrant Muslim needs to give to those that are indigenous to that continent or to that society. The same way that I would if I was living in Egypt. The same way that I would if I was living in Saudi Arabia. The same way that I would if I was living in Africa or Pakistan. And the people of that society would expect me to do that. And that's why I, as a Muslim American revert, I also expect the first, second, and third generation Muslims to be respectful, okay, of the fact that I am an indigenous Muslim, both to the continent of North America and more specifically to the American society itself. Having said that, brothers and sisters, you know, most of my video clips and social media comments are centered around Islam in the 21st century. Now, get that straight. Islam in the 21st century. Now, all the other topics that people want to talk about, you know, all the scholars they want to talk, make reference to, all the Islamic disciplines and the epistemology about Islam, the fiqh and the tafsir and the balagha, okay, and the, you know, the certification of the Arabic language and the aqidah issues, you know, all those types of issues, these are what's called Islamic knowledge disciplines. They're taught as disciplines in universities and in different institutions where people seek to get certification in the Islam. Scholars read their works. I'm respectful of them completely. Those that passed on, those that are presently living, I'm respecting them. However, when we say Islam in the 21st century, that's something very different from the Islamic epistemology and the other types of subjects, classical subjects of Islamic knowledge. Islam in the 21st century, I talk about Islam in the 21st century with an emphasis upon the phenomena of the rising population of revert Muslims in the Western societies. Now, I am not talking about or commenting on the issues of halal and haram. Let's make a fairly compacted and well-known global consensus called ijma'. You know, the ijma', the global, well-known, compacted consensus, okay, of halal and haram. So, you know, like a guy like myself, you know, a regular, you know, a regular mainstream person like myself. I have really no place to be commenting upon the ijma', the global, well-known, compacted consensus on the issues of halal and haram, and I don't. I may make reference to them for some students or people. I make ikhtilaf, the different approaches and the different opinions that evolved over the years. I might talk about that, but I myself, I am not commenting upon and I'm not talking about the issues of halal and haram. Let's get that point clear. However, dear brothers and sisters, there is a very complex and challenging set of issues which are based upon the urf. Now, if you didn't hear that terminology before, it's not my fault. You know, those who are lecturing in the mosques, those who are writing books, those who are commenting on different topics, those who are instructing the Muslims, those that are seeking fatwas on different social, political, cultural issues, generally speaking, the urf means the social, cultural, and constitutional norms of a particular society. So in the Western world, whether America or Canada or whether Europe or whether Australia, you know, in the Western countries, there is a specific urf, the social, cultural, and constitutional norms of that particular society. Now, regarding this urf, this involves an open and emerging and active set of issues. I said an open, emerging, and active set of issues which the religious and academic intellectuals and scholars of the Western societies must discuss and resolve. And we are not bound to the opinions and the conclusions of the intellectuals, the religious scholars, and students of knowledge of the so-called Muslim world. We're not. Mental set of rules and dynamics. So why would we be bound to their conclusions on those particular issues? That's absurd and disrespectful and insensitive for them to say that we are. It's almost like, you know, those people who say that, they want some kind of, I think what you call it is called like a, they want a control. They want some kind of global control that we Muslims living in the West or somewhere else in the world, we got to be referring to them to come to conclusions about our local urf. We do not. And I'm not apologizing to say that we do not. And we will not, unless it is just a matter of respect and consultation and making a respect to get their opinions for us to be able to make our own conclusions. Now, if you didn't understand what I had to say, I don't have to repeat it. What you do is, since this is social media and this is digital and it's being recorded, play it back for yourself. And then give yourself a chance to think about what I'm saying. You know, some of you are just commenting while I'm talking. That's very disrespectful. It's immature. You can't possibly understand all what I have to say, you know, in 30 minutes when you start commenting at 3 minutes, 7 minutes, 11 minutes, 13 minutes. If I was giving a talk in a university and my students start writing and commenting while I was talking, I would probably put them out of the class or give them. If you want to be fair, what you need to do is listen to what is being said completely. After that, digest it. Reflect upon it. Take some side notes, bullet points. Comment on it. Be very clear and concise in your comments. And then we'll take that into consideration, but it doesn't mean that we're going to change what we have to say just because you have a comment and your name, your title starts with Sheikh, Imam, scholar, student of knowledge, or whatever it is in the Muslim world. No, that's not fair. It's not even reasonable in these urfi matters. Just as Muslim citizens like myself of the West do not interfere with social and constitutional policies while residing in a Muslim country, we don't. We comply, even if we disagree. Even if it makes us uncomfortable, we still have to comply. Why? Because we're just residents living in that country. Some of us have immigrated to those countries. We still have to do what? We have to respect, we have to comply, even if we disagree. Why? Because that country would never allow us, because of our academic status, if we graduated from their universities or not, they would never allow us to do what? To contradict or to undermine or to contend with their Urfi developed policies. Therefore, Muslim immigrants should respect the preeminent thinking of the indigenous Muslims when they live in those societies, even if you are first, second, or third generation Muslims. Now, we're going to take off the gloves, whatever that means. And, you know, our way of talking in the United States of America, our way of talking as indigenous Muslims, our way of talking based upon how we have evolved as a people is a little bit different than maybe the way that you talk. We don't have to change our way of talking because of the way you talk. We don't consider ourselves, I don't consider myself to be disrespectful. I don't consider myself to be abusive. I don't consider myself to be insensitive. Like a plate of food, eat what you like and throw away the rest. There's no problem, there's no insult. My way of talking is a matter of the dynamics of the society where I was born. Has something to do with my psychology, my training, my social temperament, so forth and so on. Don't try to change that, and I won't try to change yours. Take what you have to say here. It's not necessarily a foregone conclusion. It's not a fact. I told you from the very beginning, these are my views. If you cannot stomach my views, if you don't respect my views, this is my page. Just sign off. Go to another page. Create your own page, your own environment, with your own ideas and your own comments, and be responsible for that. But don't tell me, don't try to put me in check based upon your sensitivities. Don't do that, because that's disrespectful in a number of ways. Because if necessary, we Muslims of the phenomena, which is called reverts, this is a social phenomena called reverts, Muslimun Judud, new Muslims, as senior Muslims, intellectuals within our own right, students of knowledge. Some of us are scholars. I didn't say I was a scholar, but we have our own scholars here in America. If necessary, in our dialogue, we will take off the gloves. And when we take off the gloves, that means that, like, everything goes. If that's what you want, that's what you'll get. That's what we'll do. We would rather be, we'd like to be nice. We like to be intellectual. We like to be open-minded. And we like to have reciprocity. You know, that means the highway goes both ways. But we're not going to be dominated, you know, by some kind of like one size fits all. This is what the scholars said. And brothers and sisters, let me just make a point here. You know, there's an eminent scholar of hadith that passed away just some years ago. He's one of the greatest muhaddithin of the 21st century. That's the general conclusion. His name is Sheikh Imam Nasiruddin Albani, and Rahmatullah Alayh. And we have tremendous respect for him. I can't even begin to put an assessment on the work that he has done in his discipline of hadith. However, he is not an authority overall in all Islamic matters. No, he's not. And we don't treat it as such. We respect him as an individual. We respect him as a scholar. And we give him preeminence in the issues of hadith, because that's what his expertise deserves. But we don't put a crown on his head, and he's not a ruler in terms of Islamic knowledge, and that every subject that comes up, you know, we got to go to Sheikh Nasruddin Albani or some of his contemporaries. We don't have to do that. That's unfair. That's insensitive. That's like one size fits all. And it precludes us Muslims in the West from participating, okay, in the 21st century in terms of the phenomena of the revival of Islam. So having said that, I have clarified a number of matters in this particular talk. You don't have to agree, because I told you that this is Sky Views. These are myself and others like myself who have embraced Islam more than 50 years ago in the United States of America, who have traveled widely all over the Muslim world and interacted with scholars, students of knowledge, lay people, business people, academic and intellectuals, non-Muslims, heads of states, all kinds of people we have interacted with. We reserve the right to have our opinion and our conclusions when it comes to Islam in the 21st century. These are my comments. And dear brothers and sisters, I just ask you to please respect that. And where you can't respect it, just bow out. Do your own thing. Be responsible for what you think. Take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Take care of your people, your society, in your country, or Australia, or South America, or anywhere where the English language is a dominant language. If you live in those a dominant language or a second language, you need to wake up and smell the coffee. That's the terminology. And one of my last euphemism, it's a linguistic euphemism. That's what it's called. Stuck on stupid. And I've explained what that means in my own inimical way. I may have used like some kind of ebonics to do so. But sometimes I have to talk to the grassroots people. That is, people who are not so educated, but they do have common sense. I got to refer to them because I came from them. And other times I have to speak, I got to speak Harlem, Harvard. You know, Harlem, that's where I came from. Brooklyn, that's where I came from. But I might be in Harvard. I might be in Yale. I might be in some kind of a Ivy League, you know, university. And I have to swing between those two. I try to do my best. Where I fail, I'm just human. Having said that, thank you very much for listening to me. This is Sheikh Khalid Yassin at Gmail. If you want to send me an email, you're welcome to do so. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us, to increase us in knowledge and iman. And we say, subhanakallahum wa bihamdik wa nashadu an la ilaha illa ant wa nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-muslim walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ameen, ameen.